Welcome to NGA Notable Lectures, a podcast offering a deeper understanding of all things artistic. Artworks representing animals, real or imaginary, religious or secular, span the full breadth and splendor of Japanese artistic production. As the first exhibition devoted to the subject, The Life of Animals in Japanese Art covers 17 centuries, from the 5th century to the present day, and a wide variety of media. At the symposium, held on June 7, 2019, in conjunction with the exhibition, Federico Marcon discussed the fascination with animals characteristic of early modern Japan. Animals were the main attractions of street shows, theatrical performances, and illustrated fictions, and were collected as pets and specimens. According to Marcon, scholars engaged in the study of birds, insects, fish, and beasts, and illustrations played a fundamental role in documenting research, conveying information, and aiding taxonomical precision.
So let me begin by thanking wholeheartedly the curator, the editorial staff, the organizer of this event for inviting me to contribute to it, and also would like to thank the staff that made it possible for me not to lose all my stuff all around Washington, D.C. And as the bookend of Rory was the elephant, I'd like to have my beginning, my incipit, being the story of an elephant. So on the 26th day of the fourth month of 1729, a seven-year-old female elephant entered Kyoto. Its arrival was preceded by such excitement that Emperor Nakamikado himself expressed the desire to see the giant animal that Shogun Tokugawa Yoshimune had purchased. The encounter between elephant and emperor, celebrated in printed books and gazette, was a wondrous event. About 100 years later, Ogata Tanko retold the story in his Zonoe Makimono, The Elephant Scroll, and narrated that suddenly, and apparently without any direct order from its trainers, the enormous elephant, as it arrived in front of the veranda where the young emperor was sitting, fell into its knees and bowed, quote from the Makimono, in recognition of the awesome presence of the living god of the emperor, end quote. After the encounter, however, with the emperor, the elephant continued on its voyage to Edo and its real proprietor, Tokugawa Yoshimune. The pachyderm arrived in the shogunal capital, Edo, modern-day Tokyo, in the 25th day of the fifth month. So just trying to figure out the parade of the elephant that from Nagasaki was shipped to Osaka, and from Osaka, all the Tokaido road back to Edo. Shogun Yoshimune had expressed the desire of an elephant ever since he admired a copperplate reproduction of one in Johann Jonston's Historias Naturalis, a copy of which had been donated to the shogunate by the Dutch East India Company's representatives. Two elephants, a male and a female, had arrived in Nagasaki on a Dutch cargo ship in the sixth month of 1728. Yoshimune has specifically requested a white elephant, which in East Asia tradition is a symbol of just and peaceful ruling. Pictures of white elephants could be frequently found in the mansions and castle of the male lords, but the closest to a white elephant Yoshimune was able to obtain was a young pair of grayish elephants Maximus from Vietnam. Of the two elephants sent to Yoshimune in 1728, the male died 3 months after his arrival in Nagasaki. The female traveled to Edo accompanied by two Vietnamese trainers, their convoy reaching Edo after 74 days of travel, which attracted crowds of people eager to see the gigantic animal. After its arrival in Edo, the elephant was given to a man named Gensuke together with a yearly grant of 200 golden ryo from the shogunal treasury for its keeping. It's a fair amount of money. The elephant, however, died of malnutrition at 21 years of age, 13 years after its arrival in Japan, probably the victim of a bankrupted bakufu. Scholars could read about elephants in canonical encyclopedias widespread in circulation at the time, like Li Shijian's Ben Saogammu, or Systematic Materia Medica, a text that collected information about natural species and their utilization for medicinal properties. The text had, however, quite poor illustrations, to the extent that early pirated Japanese edition replaced them with more sophisticated one. that was supposed to be the elephant here. And for those of you, this is a tiger, this is a leopard, and this is a lion. So they rip off all the volume of images and they replace with other ones. A few scholars could also add to the notions they could read in Chinese encyclopedias and a Japanese digest of Dodoen's entry for Oliphant in the Cruiderbeck that also was an encyclopedia rather roughly at the same time, unfortunately without illustrations. And Norogenjo actually gave a translation of the entry, a very summary of what the Cruiderbeck actually was saying, and that were information that was widespread among scholars at the time. But experience to see life, the giant mammals in pilgrimage through the Tokaido excited scholars and curious onlooker alike. Yoshimune's elephant was but one of many public events involving plants and animals that aroused popular enthusiasm during the last century of Tokugawa rules. Parades of rare and exotic animals imported by Dutch and Chinese merchants were frequent happenings, but popular curiosity for nature's wonder found expression in a vast array of practices and fashions. Collecting shells and leaves, flowers and plants, insects and exotic birds was a passion shared by individuals of every social standing, with obvious differences depending on the economic and social capital of each aficionado. Gardening, landscaping and herbs picking, picnics in the countryside were also popular pastimes, as were developing new breeds of azaleas and goldfish and enjoying social games involving plants and animals. The love for animals in Tokugawa Japan found in illustrations the best vehicle to tickle people's curiosity, to decorate samurai and wealthy merchants' mansions, to experiment with aesthetic styles, or to hide messages and playful ribos in popular pictures, the famous pictures of a horse and a deer, that for those of you who know Japanese, the meaning is clear. And it means baka, by the way. So, and the record of observational practices of specialized naturalists. In the Edo period, the study of plants and animals was part of a field of knowledge known at the time as Honzogaku. Honzogaku is the Japanese reading of the Chinese Benzaoshue, which designated a field of study usually translated as materia medica or pharmacology. It developed in China as a subfield of medical studies devoted to the pharmacological properties of minerals, herbs, and animals. The term Benzao Honzogaku in Japanese probably dates back to the first century BCE with the literal meaning of the study of the other, the character are translated either as roots or herbs, or sometimes they're translated as the fundamental herbs in reference to the act of the mythical emperor Shennong that was said to have touched them with his tongue, thus imbuing them with pharmacological properties. I happen to have written a book about it, so please forgive this moment of shameful self-promotion. But in my book, I analyze how and why pharmacological honzogaku developed into an eclectic field of nature studies, which that encompassed an array of styles and approaches from lexicography and encyclopedism to agronomy, aesthetic, gastronomy, and natural history proper. The kind of texts its practitioners produced shared language, style, and cognitive goals with a variety of other disciplines. A combination of social, political, aesthetic, and economic changes made these new forms of knowledge possible. Above all, the development of a market economy, improvement in agricultural production, mercantilist policies of shogunal and domainal administrations, and the growth of exchange of cultural goods across different social classes, an exchange that favored a surge of popular entertainment, refined pastimes, artistic creations, and intellectual discourse related to plants and animals. Advocates of the new approaches to natural knowledge, such as Kabara Kiken, Ino Jaksui, Ono Ranzan, and Hiragagenai, drew on and contributed to these changes in an effort to legitimate and define these new forms of inquiry. Supported by shogunal and domainal institutions, private academies, and a burgeoning publishing industry of textbooks, encyclopedias, and specialized monographs, which developed together with the expansion of literacy, Honzogaku enjoyed a large following and engaged many of the best minds of the period. Initially, there were polymaths, a part of their production also engaged with Honzogaku, but as we move to the 18th century, more specialized form of knowledge required of scholars to be specialists in that manner. in that subject. Canonical Encyclopedia constituted a foundational text that framed the entire cognitive enterprise of Honzogaku scholars. Honzokomoku, the Benzaogammu here by Li Shijian's publishing engine in 1596, remained throughout the period the most influential canonical source. It gave the language, the terminology, the classificatory systems, and the cognitive apparatus that suggested the labor of Honzogaku scholar in the 17th, 18th, and 19th century. Also, when Japanese scholars started producing their own local texts like Yamato Honzo by Kaiwaraki Ken or Inojaksui Shobutsuri-san, that is to say, an encyclopedic text that was supposed to contain any species of plants and animals that could be found in the world, were modeled upon the Benzaogammu by Li Shizen in form of templates. So the Honzokomoku or Benzaogammu really remained the templates, the urtexts for the majority of scholars and physicians throughout the time. Honzogaku texts ranged from multi-volume bounded. This is another thing. Let me give you an example of the foundational importance of Honzokomoku of Benzaogammu. When the most famous scholar of late Tokugawa period, Ono Ranzan, actually published toward the end of his life the summa of his own knowledge of plants and animals, he actually entitled his book Clarifications of or Annotations on the Honzokomoku, on the Benzaogammu. This is something that we encourage our students not to do, not to give this title to your summa of your knowledge, but that is the kind of reverence that was given to the early text. Or in other terms, it was part of the socio-professional growth of scholar, the fact that the most prestigious form of writing for them was not the original treatises, like we are accustomed in early modern European case, but really a commentary or canonical source. And this is the case for Ono Ranzan text. Honzogaku texts, as I said before, ranged from multi-volume bounded encyclopedias to single multi-volume monographs on a particular kind of species or a particular kind of groups of flowers and so forth, albums of loose pages that could be constantly rearranged, large single-page charts, and handwritten notebooks that circulated widely within different scholarly networks. These formats suggest different practical uses, different epistemological functions, and different positions in the ordo cognitionis, in the order of knowledge of the text these books contained. It's hard, however, to draw a neat line separating the labor of scholars from the curiosity of amateurs. Since the mid-18th century, public exhibitions of medicinal substances, but really by this term, yakuhin or busan medicinal substances, you can find everything. Clearly, licorice and ginseng were present at this exhibition, but you can find crocodiles, boa constrictor, and any kind of weird and exotic animals from the private collectors of wealthy merchants. So these were events that brought together specialists and amateurs, apothecaries and collectors, as well as curious onlookers. You pay a fee and you would go and see the exhibitions. The growing entertainment industry of Edo engaged people in activities often centered on plants and animals to observe, collect, play with, and sometimes taste plants and animals. So, for example, you have expeditions in garden, or what has been mentioned before, kujakujaya or peacock houses. You can go to a tea house, drink a tea, and also have a peek at the rare plants and animals that they contain. There might have been social games involving plants and animals, or you can collect pet birds. And this is a print of a store. You can actually buy a bird as a pet, and when you're really tired of having it, you can bring it back to the store, and you can eat it after having enjoyed it. Artists were part of this popular craze. Many of them searched Honzogaku Encyclopedia for inspirations of their aesthetic enterprises. Others were hired by naturalists to illustrate monographs, albums, and encyclopedias. Katsushika Hosai actually wrote an entire manual of coloring focused mainly on animals and plants. The search of faithful and accurate renditions of vegetal and animal species in illustrations was sustained by a terminology that found in the Japanese term shashin a key concept. You probably, those of you who speak or can read Japanese, in the image that Rory has brought up before of a camel that you can see in the exhibition above, there is a camel which is also in the title of it, has a character of Shashing as a picture that revealed the true essence of that particular animal. Today, the term Shashing is used as a translation of the English photography, photograph. But in Tokugawa Japan, the term, whose literal meaning sounds somewhat like the transposition or copying of truth, came to signify what Dunston and Galison have called true-to-nature illustrations, or pictures that were believed to represent truthfully the essential properties of the observed object. I will delve more on this term later in my talk. Where, how, and why this urge to develop faithful representations of natural species emerged so distinctively among Japanese practitioners of Honzogaku. I claim in my book that the original moment, one of the starting moments, of the key moment at least, that qualitatively and quantitatively represented a surge in the demands for accurate renditions of plant and animals, has to be dated in 1734, 1736, in the occasions of a nationwide surveys that were ordered by the Shogun Tokugawa Yoshimune. During his reign, Yoshimune sponsored Honzogaku as part of a massive reform effort to restructure shogunal control of the realm and cope with the economic and agricultural difficulties that arose after the Genroku economic bubble burst. We are talking about the turn of from the 17th to the 18th century. His plan involved Honzogaku scholars in three main projects. First, the production of a complete survey of all species of plants and animals found in Japan, which was carried out by the scholar Niwa Shohaku. This is Tokugawa Yoshimune, by scholar Niwa Shohaku, of whom we don't have an image, so I give you the tomb. So this is an amazing endeavor, probably the largest ever organized in the world at the time. It encompassed Niwa Shohaku developing a questionnaire with all the entries of Bensaogamu, of Honzokomoku, and this questionnaire was distributed in all villages around Japan. The village headman was supposed to check the kind of plants and animals that they believe that they grow or live in their own domain, and then send them back all this questionnaire to Niwa Shohaku that could compile a pretty sophisticated survey of the inventory of natural resources all around the isles. However, because of the large number of synonyms and homonyms that existed at the time, what Niwa Shohaku did actually is to send back the questionnaire and close to the name of the species that were actually given by each of the village, he would draw a circle. The circle meant that please draw a picture of it. So through the pictures, we can have a sense of what kind of plants and animals you're talking about in this particular case. Pictures requested as means to identify species that local dialects and local names conveyed through names different from the ones of the encyclopedia. So they have to match the content of the encyclopedia with the actual plants and animals living and growing in Japan. And in particular for medicinal substances, you don't want to cause problem if to give a directive to a person who actually suffering from a form of diarrhea or a congestant or other kind of herbs that can have the opposite desired effects on the patients. Think about these efforts somewhat like the bird watcher manual. That is to say, having pictures, that this is a picture from the previous illustrated encyclopedia. This is from the Kaibara Kiken Yamato Honzo from 1709. In the turn of a generation in 1730, this is the quality of the picture that were requested actually by the shogunate to express or to identify the species. From this, and certainly after these events, developed the practice of utilizing pictures and illustrations to solve the old problems of matching Chinese names with actual species of plants and animals growing and living in Japan. The growing relevance of illustrations as vehicles of knowledge in Honzogaku texts was a clear sign that a precise correspondence between words and things could no longer be established with certainty. It challenged, in other words, the centrality of lexicography, or what at the time came under the name of Meibutsugaku, in Honzogaku research. And this is, I claim in the book, a distinguishing characteristic of nature knowledge in Japan vis-a-vis what was happening at the same time in China and in Korea. Illustration conveyed also information about exotic species of faraway countries. Lions and dromedaries were actually known and copied out from Johan Jonsson's textbook and were reaching wider circulation through Soshiseki, Kokinga, Sogo, Jushu, or other texts that actually literally copied the images from those texts. One of the most important ones, one of the most celebrated ones, this is reference to Rory's dromedary from Albrecht Dürer, that now we know the story of his shipwreck near Civitavecchia in Rome, that was known at the time in Japan through a copy contained in Johnston, the Quadrupedus Animalibus, the history of four-legged beasts, that would start to be copied out by also other artists. This is a copy of Tani Buncho of that image from Youngstone copy of Dürer Imaginations of the Rhinoceros. So illustration were a mean to spread around informations about exotic animals that could not be brought to Japan at the time. There was also the informations about plants, like the cocoa plants actually were inserted in traditional format, and the entries for that particular plant were inserted in the classificatory system of the Benzogamo. In other words, the massive arrival of information, so specimens from brought by Chinese and Dutch merchants, did not affect the overarching understanding or classifications about the natural species, but actually were enriching it with new data. So we don't find really a literary translation of these texts, but where summary digest or rough understanding of what the text contain. There were a massive technological improvement in the way in which the species of plants and animals were actually rendered. This is a sketch of a kandai that the Honzogaku scholar Kurimoto Tangshu, who also was the physician for the shogunate, would draw, and upon this picture, you know, Kurimoto Tangshu utilized a technique, another scholar, Hirakake Nai, have developed, that is to say, to cover the surface of fish or of plants or of birds, a subtle strata of nikawa, or kind of a glue, that would actually solidify and were later on embossed. So in that way, it gave also a tactile sensations of what it means to touch that particular fish or to touch the particular texture of a leaf and so forth. Illustration could also be a useful conveyor of information to texts that were supposed to improve the educations of villagers and commoners. This is a manual that one of the local domainal lords, Maeda Toshiasu, actually edited and distributed upon the headmen of the villages with information, very scant information about medicinal plants and alternate crops, edible crops, that would sustain the populations of a village in time of famines or in time of epidemics. And the information about the plant was conveyed mainly through the presence of pictures. Among the different kind of scholars that were engaged in the production of the best pictures of plants and animals, it remarkable is the productions of a group of scholars that known as the Shōhyakusha. This is the society of the 100 taster of flicks, going back to the name Honzogaku, mentioned above, was a cultural club formed by mid to low ranking samurai from the Owari domain and physicians from the Nagoya area. It focused on the study of local plants and animals, ostensibly to investigate their medicinal properties. The group leader, a physician named Mizutani Hobun, once again, we don't have a picture, so I give you the tomb, had studied medicine in Honzogaku under Asano Shundo, a student of Ono Ranzan that I mentioned earlier, and his approach to the discipline was marked by an explicit interest on the medicinal properties of plants. Other members included Owari retainers Okochi Zongshin, the brother Ito Keisuke, who is going to become the first graduate of Tokyo University in biology, actually. He lived 100 years. Okubo Tahei, Isamu Saki, Yoshida Takanori, and so forth. The attention modern historians of science has given to the Shōhyakusha, one among many other circles and groups dedicated to the study of plants and animals, is by no means innocent. At the time, no more prominent than other groups of Honzogaku practitioners, the main reason behind modern historians' attention to the Shōhyakusha is the interest its members showed for Linnean taxonomy and nomenclature, particularly evident in the personal relation Hobun and Keisuke entertained with Franz von Siebold, a physician in stance of in Nagasaki, and you know, he opened up a school, a private academy, teaching surgical techniques to Japanese physician, and he will stay in Japan for 7 years. That is to say, longer than any other scholars connected to the VOC or the Netherlands. This group stood in the eyes of many historians of science among the precursor of modern Japanese science. Like all other circles, however, Shōhyakusha members met regularly to discuss and conduct research on plants and animals. In addition to Chinese and Japanese encyclopedias, they used Western texts as sources, which in itself was not unique. Some of them were familiar with Linnean classification. This is the case of the collection of sketches by Mizutani Hobun, arranged, and he arranged his collection of specimens and sketches of vegetal and animal species in accordance with Linnaeus' taxonomy. And this handwriting here is from Siebold himself, that was actually checking out and adding the names of the different species. His disciple, Ito Keisuke, studied actually under Siebold and later became the first Japanese to receive a doctorate in science in the newly established Tokyo Imperial University. He's also the author in which he translated, this is a glossary, all the entries of the Benzogammu, once again go back to this Ur-text, into the Linnean taxonomy, and also introduce the rationale of Linnean taxonomy for flowers. Shōhyakusha's main activities consisted of recording the result of their observations and collegial discussions about specimens that they collected or captured during natural expedition in the Owari region. The reliance on observation and accurate true-to-nature pictorial descriptions of plants and animals has suggested, historians of science, that Shōhyakusha members had developed really the an early science of a scientific approach to the study of plants and animals in Japan. The epistemological issues at the basis of Hobun's work was, however, the precise identification of natural species, especially those growing and living in Owari, in order to exploit their healing properties to support the Domalian Institute of Medicine and Agricultural Production. In that regard, the Shōhyakusha's work was hardly distinct from other groups of other scholars of Honzogaku, as the combination of terminological and utilitarian goals were the common explicit rhetoric of most Honzogaku circles and scholars at the time. If in his writing Hobun openly questioned what he called false learning and the blind adherence to received knowledge, he and his fellow amateur naturalists never really questioned the Honzogaku tradition as a whole. Among the texts that he first go to check out information about plants and animals was, once again, the Benzogammu, the Honzokomoku. Rather, they supplemented it with information they gathered from their own observations and experiments and from Western books. In other words, they did not intend to replace or rewrite the Honzogaku Encyclopedia, just correct its mistakes. One of the central concerns of Japanese naturalists since the introduction of Li Shijian's Benzogammu at the beginning of the 17th century consisted in a semasiological problem of matching a Chinese name, as I said before, with actual specimens. To avoid errors, it was characteristic of Shōhyakusha's research practice to devote time and efforts to careful collegial observation, description, and pictorial representation of the specimens they were studying. In other words, they mobilized a variety of practices, some of which new, to address a very old problem. Observation of actual specimens were indeed central to the research practices of Shōhyakusha practitioners. And these observational practices played a fundamental role in the cognitive apparatus and texts that Shōhyakusha scholars produced. In that respect, pictorial representations that observe specimens for them had three main important functions: evidentiary, cognitive, and iconic. So the first, pictures were material evidence of the observational experience of the naturalists. And in fact, they recorded time, conditions, and circumstances of the specimen, where it was fished, by the name of the villagers, how big it was, what were the weather conditions when they actually conducted their own observation, and so forth. These involved also the illustration of mutation and changes through time of insect plants. So pictures were used, for example, to describe the metamorphosis of butterfly and moths and the life cycles as there are. This is coming from the notebooks of domain lord Hosokawa Shigekata, who actually forced samurai to stay vigilant in front of different kind of worms and collect and record through the time, the exact time of the different stages of the transformations. So the first aim or goal of this picture were to actually to archive or to document the happening of an observation, usually collegial. Second, they purported to convey the physical characteristic of the observed specimens. This was in line with a practice that became widespread ever since the surveys of the 1730s, that is to say, rather than using language to describe the morphology or the anatomy of specimens, pictures were supposed to do that instead of words. So pictures, too, had in themselves cognitive content, a characteristic that was not shared by the majority of Chinese Benzhao practitioners at the time, where pictures actually were produced and circulated by within private networks of scholars or within the court of the emperor. Third, pictures had also to represent the essential recognizable properties of the specimen that allowed the precise identification of the species of which the specimen was an individual. In other terms, this goes back to the bird watcher manual. It is through the picture that you can actually start seeing things systematically. That is a training of the eyes to actually recognize species when you see specimens. So what shashin, that this key term that was induced by all the Honzogaku practitioners at the time, identified was not actually the specimen in front of the eyes of the painter, although he was drawn alive from the actual specimen that they depicted. But through accurate renditions of that specimen, they had to convey what were believed to be the species-specific characteristics of which the specimen was only a representative. So each of these pictures is not the picture of a particular individual butterfly, but is an individual butterfly that stands for the species in general. Differently put, Shōhyakusha scholars wanted to test the received textual information on plants and animals through collegial observational practices in the field and in public exhibitions that encourage shared participation and open discussion. They then developed pictorial representations faithful to the observed plants and animals. On the one hand, fidelity to actual objects was the motivating goal behind the various representational techniques that the Owari naturalists adopted, from realistic, and I use a scare quote here, pictographical renditions and the plastering of dried specimens on the paper to ink rubbing and shadowing methods. On the other hand, faithful renditions of actual specimens supported a complex epistemology whereby images continuously negotiated with multilingual texts, descriptions, observational practices, and open debates with the aim of consolidating the taxonomical distinctions of species of Honzo Komoku or Benzhao Gammo. It is important to note that Shōhyakusha scholars did not conceive of practices like observation and descriptions as an alternative methodology aimed at substituting the acquired knowledge of Chinese encyclopedias, nor did they conceive of Linnaeus' taxonomy as opposed to an irreconcilable with Li Shijian's. They were not radicals or revolutionaries, nor did they intend to obliterate the received Honzogaku knowledge. Hobung never questioned the medicinal efficacy of traditional pharmacopoeias, and while he acknowledged the pragmatic advantages of the binomial system, in particular its capacity to include new species, he struggled to make it compatible with the received knowledge of traditional Honzogaku. If anything, Hobung and Keisuke utilized it to correct and update the information contained in canonical sources. In other words, established encyclopedias remain for them a valuable source of pharmacological information about the species of plants and animals they observed in nature. Observation alone did not have sufficient epistemological value to replace received information. Rather, their sophisticated observational and descriptive techniques serve to more precisely match the plants they studied to the species treated in canonical encyclopedias, supplemented with information they gather from Western sources. Maki Fukuoka has defined their practice as a triangulation of collegial observation of actual specimens, their rendition in true to nature illustrations, and reference to multilingual sources, Chinese, Japanese, and Dutch, whereby knowledge resulted from a negotiation between these moments and received knowledge was in a sense tested by their experience. Shoyakusha's empirical approach greatly appealed modern historians of science. In Japan, works devoted to this group flourished in particular in the 1980s. For historians Ueno Masuzo, Sugimoto Stomo, and others, they were the clear evidence that Japan, despite its failure, this is the term they use, to autonomously nourish a scientific revolution, was, however, moving in that direction. Modern historians' evaluations of Shoyakusha's cognitive practices can be divided into two groups. On the one hand, for historians like Ueno, Sugimoto, Kimura, Isona, and in general, for most historians of Rangaku, and most recently Jackson's Network of Knowledge, they were almost pioneers of modern science because of their interest in Linnaeus' taxonomy and because they reached out to Siebold guidance. On the other, for historians like Nakamura Saburo and in many respects Maki Fukuoka, they were almost pioneers of modern science because they developed an empirical research methodology that allowed them to break apart to some degree from the textual authority of the classics. What both groups of historians share is an understanding of science, whether or not qualified as Western, whether or not an inevitable destined of a teleological unfolding of human development conceived as universal and historical. In my book, I reject both methods and trying to reconstruct instead the procedure in their own terms and as they developed within their own particular social intellectual conditions. A revealing strategy to understand modern historians' evaluation of Shoyakusha's cognitive practices is to analyze their conception of failure. For both groups of historians, the Owari group failed to create the conditions for an epistemic breakdown with a received tradition. They offered, however, different explanations. For the first group of historians, the books of them are on the left, it was a failure to pursue to its logical consequence the new paradigm that Siebold was offering them. For the second, it was a failure because their newly conceived cognitive practices did not encourage them to abandon the established Honzogaku paradigm. The failure was conceived both generally as a failure to abandon an anachronistic system of knowledge for Ueno, Sugimoto, and others, thus a failure to acknowledge the cognitive superiority of science, and specifically as a failure in the realm of observational practices to fully recognize the errors in the canonical Benzhao tradition. In this latter case, historians have pointed out Shoyakusha's classificatory mistakes vis-a-vis modern classifications as failure. In one such instance, for example, which revealed, however, in my own view, the reliance that this scholar still had on canonical sources, Hobum described a medium-sized bird he had captured in the fourth month of 1809 off the coast of Atsuta as a etohiruka, or tufted puffin, a pelagic seabird living in the northern Pacific Ocean. In reality, what he had captured was a horned puffin, later known as Tsunomedori in Japanese, a species of pelagic seabirds that breed on rocky islands off the coast of Siberia and Alaska that was yet to be described in East Asian natural historical tradition. The two birds are quite dissimilar in both shape, color, and especially size, but Hobung forced his description of the bird he had captured, a horned puffin, to fit the descriptions from Chinese sources of the tufted puffin. This despite the fact that paintings of tufted puffins were quite well known in Honzogaku communities, like the one by the talented amateur painter naturalist Bashiyama Masakata, daimyo of the nearby Nagashima domain. Etohiruka were even once the subject of a meeting at Kimura Kenkado's salon. In cases of uncertain identification, Western sources, books, or conversation with Siebold were for them a source of verification of their speculations, but there was a clear hierarchy of authority between the different cognitive practices and canonical Honzogaku encyclopedia had generally final say, maintaining their authoritative superiority. Information and data gathered from Western texts were not meant to replace the established knowledge of Honzogaku encyclopedia and textbooks, but to complete, complement, and eventually correct physical and medicinal properties of discrete species. It was a procedure that resembled the one pursued by Marco Polo, who in front of a rhinoceros had no choice but call it a horrible and ugly unicorn, completely different from the one fairy tales described. In a strictly epistemological sense, however, there remained a firm belief in the correspondence between thought and things, since truth was still conceived as a form of adequatio, of adequation of thought in the form of either language or pictorial representation to things. Thus, Shashin Shasei illustration can be understood as realistic only in the dogmatic sense of being representations resembling, or better put, adequate to, in its etymological use of being equal to, an object subsisting in itself, and not in the modern sense of being representations of individual specimens of plants and animals with their particular individual shades of color and shapes that they could only have in that particular time and place as a result of their interaction with the observer. The Shashin illustration had to be true not to the individual specimen observed, but to those characteristics, its truth, Shin, that made it representative of a particular species. This picture reproduced species rather than individual specimens of plants and animals, much as early modern European natural philosophers' epistemological and moral imperative to be true to nature led them to produce standardized, idealized representations of natural species and phenomena. Indeed, Ito Keisuke utilized the term Shashin also for his drawing of what we today call imaginary beasts, like the siren of this image. The function of accuracy in Shashin pictures, in atlases and catalogues, was not only to map the diversity of vegetal and animal diversity, but also, and especially, to train the observing gaze of scholar and amateurs to recognize species when looking at actual specimens, and to distinguish those characteristics peculiar to each species. As distillates of a species' essence, the function of Shashin pictures was to help the scholar recognize the defining traits of species, not the particularities of specimens. The portrays specimens as species representatives, which embodied intellectual and material practices that converted particular examples into universal exemplars, a form of social hieroglyphics that concealed the social and intellectual labor that produced them. And I stop here, and thank you very much for your attention.
This has been a National Gallery of Art podcast.